Scripture reading for this morning will be Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very glad to be back here at Sandyville Church of Christ. I'm always thankful for the opportunities that I have, the opportunities afforded to me by the elders. As we heard from our scripture reading, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And that's an idea that I'd be lying if I hadn't said I've shed a tear over that once or twice. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about God's family. It's a very, very special thing. God's family. We're going to talk about some attributes of that family. The three things we're going to look at this morning: one, God's family cares. Number two, God's family is unique. And number three, God's family is eternal. So, number one, God's family cares. I think first we have to understand, what is God's family? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, the Bible says He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church and the body are the same thing. This is an idea we find throughout Scripture. And later in Ephesians chapter 4, we see that there is one body. One body, one church. Unfortunately, that's an idea that the world doesn't want to grab a hold of. It's an idea that the world doesn't want to cling to. It's a picture the world doesn't want to see. But it's a beautiful picture. All are one in Christ Jesus. The first point is God's family cares. I think one important reason that God's family cares is because God cares for each and every one of us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We have a God that cares about us. And I think many times we overlook that. We have a God that cares. And caring is a rare thing to find in this world today. Caring is a rare thing to find. True caring. There was a speaker one time talking, and I can't remember all the details, but the idea will still stand. He said, you know, 80% of people don't care about your problems, and the other 20% are glad you have them. 80% of people don't care about your problems, they don't want to hear about them, and the other 20% are glad you have them. Every once in a while, when people say that, when this gentleman said it, you know, people laugh and chuckle. And I think the reason people laugh and chuckle is because there's a hint of truth in there, isn't there? It's that people just don't care. They don't care about your problems. They don't care about your difficulties. They don't care about your sufferings. They don't care about what you're going through. And many people are glad you have them. But God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We have a God that cares about us. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us that Christ is head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. God cares for us. He cares for the body of Christ. He cares for the church of Christ. He cares for His family. And we are His. God loves us so very, very much. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I don't have any kids, but I have brothers. What type of love does it take to give up your own son for others? I don't know if I have that type of love. I don't know if I have that type of caring, because I have two brothers that I love so dearly, and I would do anything for them. And if they were in danger in any way, I would gladly do anything to support them and help them. He loved us so much that he gave his son. And his son loved us enough to go through with what he had to go through. Is God's family cares because the head cares. The body of Christ head cares for each and every one of us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Our God loves us. He cares about us. He came to this world, lived in a human body, went through this life, I think just so he can be more relatable to us and say, I understand. I went through the temptations. I went through the struggles. And in fact, you know, we kind of get out easy out of life sometimes because we think that when Jesus came to the end of his life, what happened? He was crucified. He was beat. What love our Father has for us. It's hard to love people many times that don't love back. But that's exactly what God does. Is he loves people many times and they don't even love him back. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were putting the whip to the Savior's back, he loved us. When we drove the nails in, he loved us. When he endured all the pain, he loved us. When he left heaven and came to this world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he says he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. When we're talking about God's family, we have a great head who loves us and cares about us. And from that, we realize that we as Christians, being members of this body, being members of the family of God, that we too should care. That we should care as brothers and sisters in Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Therefore, as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Is that God's family is a very special thing because we care. We don't only care about brothers and sisters in Christ, but we care about the world, the lost and dying world that we all need to be concerned about. We as brothers and sisters in Christ need to watch out for one another. We need to be genuinely concerned for one another and helping each other out. It says, as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Especially those of the household of faith. James chapter 5, it talks about us confessing our trespasses to one another. And later in James chapter 5, verse 19, it tells us basically, I think, to watch out for those who wander from the truth. Do we care about our brothers and sisters in Christ? We should. Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? We should. That's the example that God and Jesus has laid forth to us, and it's one that we need to follow. But the scary thing is what happens when we don't care. When we don't have the love that the family of God should have. What happens? What happens when we fail at caring and failing at love? What happens? Well, one, the lost suffer. The lost of the world suffer when we don't care and we don't love. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. If that is our head's desire, it should be our desire as well, that all come to a knowledge of the truth. But yet our actions would dictate something different. So many times we'll lay in the shadows and we'll say, they'll figure it out on their own. They don't need my help. They don't need my help. They don't need my caring. They don't need my love. They don't need my guidance. They don't need my assistance. They certainly don't need to study the Bible with me. The family of God cares. God cares, and we as Christians should be caring as well. And if we don't care, the lost suffer because of our lack of caring. We need to be going to all the world. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. If someone comes to us, we need to be able to give an answer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, as we talked about last time. But another interesting thing happens if we don't care. If we fail to care, not only does the lost suffer, but our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer when we don't care and we don't have the love that we should have for one another. It's so strange how we can see problems in physical relationships, but when it comes to our spiritual relationships, we don't see our problems. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." Christians should be meeting together, assembling together. And a lot of people don't see the wisdom in this. I think there is wisdom there, but God says you need to meet together. I think there's many reasons for that. But so many Christians, do we care enough? Do we love enough about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we need each other to get through this life. It's not easy to go out into the world, into the workplace and all these things and be surrounded by worldliness. We need each other. But how many of us leave each other out to dry, forsaking the assembly of ourselves? See, we see the problem of this in our physical relationships. What if I told you that a husband was forsaking his wife? You would say that's a problem. What's he doing? They're in a relationship. They need to be close. There's certain things that they need to be doing for one another in that relationship. But how many brothers and sisters in Christ forsake one another? How many times do we not care and love about one another to show up and just care and love one another? You know, it doesn't take much. I can't tell you how many times I had a brother or sister in Christ. I was discouraged and they didn't even know what was going on and they just gave me a kind word. Just a kind word. Loving and caring for one another. But how many of us as brothers and sisters in Christ walk out on one another? We would forsake the assembly of ourselves. We decide they don't need me, I don't need them. And they deceive themselves and walk out. See, marriage is not something you can walk out on. You can't forsake that. You can, it's wrong. Same as forsaking our spiritual relationships to one another. You know, Susie, it was a rough week. You know, it was a rough week, Susie. You know, it was a rough week at work. So, you know, this week you're on your own. This week you're on your own. I was just so stressed and I'm just going to go off for a week. Would that be okay? No. But how many times do people do this in their spiritual relationships? Man, I had a rough week, so I'm just not going to, you know, not going to show up, not going to care, not going to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. When we fail to care and love like the family of God, the lost suffer and our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer. I think many times we forget the cost of becoming a Christian. We forget the cost of becoming a Christian. And we forget that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they have truly forsaken all for the cause of Christ. We read about the cost in Luke chapter 14, verse 25 and following. The cost of discipleship. It's high. It's high. And I think many times we forget this, is that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, probably many of here, have forsaken all for the cause of Christ. And we are the only family that they have. We are the only family that they have. And yet we forsake them and we don't care and love them like we should. We forget what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 10 verses 34 through 36. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. This is Jesus. Don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Because of the cause of Christ. Because of the truth. And many people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have left their physical families. And do we give them the care and love and support that they need? What a hard, hard thing to do. My grandma did it. My grandma, before she died, she wrote a letter. Why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. She's got Bible verses all through it. And when she passed away, I don't know if she ever thought anybody would read it, but I got my hands on it. And in it, I read a story that she had never recounted in my memory to me, which was the story of her packing up her stuff in her trunk because her parents said, "If you become a Christian, you are not welcome here anymore." Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ forsake all for the cause of Christ. And we need to care and we need to love them. The truth breaks up families. That's what Christ said. This is our family. a spiritual family, and we have to care and love one another. It's the prayer that Jesus had for us. John chapter 19, verses 20 through 23, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also on those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus' prayer was for unity, for us to be united. And what we have to realize is the glue of the church, the glue of God's family, is caring and love. That's what holds us together through everything. So one of the attributes of God's family is God's family cares. We have a caring head, and we ourselves should be caring, and we cannot forget about our obligations to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be the family that God wants us to be. Number two, God's family is unique. God's family is unique. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 35, Peter was speaking. He said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is acceptable by him. See, the world tries to divide the uniqueness of the church on a daily basis. Peter said that in every nation, it doesn't matter your race, God shows no partiality. This is what God wants. He says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is acceptable by him. If you want to be accepted by God, if you want to be part of God's family, do his will. And you will be part of his family if you're obedient in the ways that he tells us to be obedient. But see, the world can't see this. And the world doesn't want to see this. That God's family is unique and is made up of men and women from every nation. Different heights, different weights, different races, different colors. And yet the world will say, you can't be the brother with this person. He's black, you're white. You can't be brothers and sisters in Christ. The world will try to divide us. The world will try to split us. But one of the beautiful things about the church is if you do the will of the Father, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a very special and unique family, but the world doesn't want to see it. And the world will try to cause us problems by trying to drive wedges in between us. And see, they'll say, you're different. Can't you see? You're different. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Paul pleaded for unity in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Speak the same thing, have the same mind, have the same judgment. If we have those things, we can be united in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have brothers and sisters in all nations. And that's an amazing thing, is I have brothers and sisters in Africa. Some I know by name, some that I talk to, some that I don't. We have brothers and sisters in India, some I know by name, some that I don't. Men of every nation in one body, united for the cause of Christ. God's family is unique. We also come from unique backgrounds, which has always amazed me over the years, the diversity of our backgrounds. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you are baptized into Christ and put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus. What a diverse group we are. What a unique group we are. And yet so many people will try to divide us. You guys can't be together. You've got a doctor sitting beside a teacher. That doesn't make any sense. You've got a slave sitting by someone who's free. That doesn't make any sense. And they'll go on and on and on and try to divide us and try to break up the unity of the church, try to break up the unity that Christ has formed. What an amazing thing that we all have different backgrounds. We all have a unique story, but we have all been brought together because of the cause of Christ. It's interesting how people come about and meet each other. I've met a guy from India. What is my connection with a guy way over the ocean, way over there? What is my relationship? We're both in Christ. The world can't see that because it's a spiritual thing. They want to see, he can't be your brother. He can't have any relationship with you. He's way over there. Well, I do. I have a special spiritual relationship. We're in different countries, we're different states, we have people rural, we have people urban, all different types of backgrounds, all brought together because of the cause of Christ. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 133, in verse 1, it says, "Behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's unfortunate when we look at the uniqueness of the church and how God defines the uniqueness of the church, and we try to break it up, and the world tries to break it up. We're unique. We need to embrace it. And when we embrace the uniqueness of the church, something special happens. When we say we understand what God says, that we have men from every nation, that we have people of different races, that we have people of different occupations, slave and free, we have all this diversity, that we're unique and we're all one, something special happens, is the world starts to notice. But what we try to do is we try to blend in. We try to fit their mold, that you guys can't be united with that person. That's crazy. You can't be united with that person. That's crazy. But when we accept the uniqueness of the church, some special things start to happen, is that people start to notice. It's a shame when we don't embrace the uniqueness of the church and that we neglect our brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 says, "Salute you one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." I'm not suggesting that we start kissing everybody, but it does seem that Christians acknowledge one another. "Salute you one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." We're writing to you. These Christians are telling you that they're basically saying hi. And isn't it a shame when we go out into our communities, when we leave this place, we ignore our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll see them in the store and we'll go, "Oh, there's sister so-and-so. I don't want to see her." That's a shame. We have to embrace the uniqueness of the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we acknowledge one another out in the community, people notice. People notice because they're like, "How in the world does this doctor know this teacher? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. How does this person who is black have a relationship with this person that's white?" Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I remember I played basketball in high school. I was extremely competitive. And after high school, I kind of almost had to give it up. I'm just so ultra competitive, it sometimes gets me in trouble. So I remember one time in high school, I didn't even talk to the opponents. I mean, I'm old school. I didn't even talk to the opponents. I'd come in, I'd warm up, then I'd go play. I wouldn't even talk to them. Well, one time I had a brother in Christ playing on the other team. I walked over at half court, shook his hand. I came back to my bench. My team was going crazy. "Kyle, what are you doing?" Because they knew me. They knew I was ultra competitive. I didn't even talk. "Well, why are you talking to this guy?" "It's my brother in Christ. And I will not deny him out in the community." But yet so many times we will. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and they notice, and people in your community will notice when you go out and you acknowledge one another. "That's my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ." And there's nothing that you can do about it. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one family. We are one family. See, a lot of times we get focused on that physical family. But like we talked about earlier, so many people have to abandon that to become Christians. And this is the only family that they have. Their spiritual family. And I think Jesus acknowledges this. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, it says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brother are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But he answered and said to them, 'To the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my brother, my mother, and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, and my sister.'" See, we've got this physical mindset that we've got to fix. Because the world's going to say, "You're different occupations, you can't be united. You're different races, you can't be united. You're in different nations, you can't be united." Yes, we can be. Only in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we don't think spiritually. We have a wonderful spiritual family that is not contained within these walls. We have brothers and sisters in Christ meeting and assembling right now just like we are, worshiping the same way, doing the same things. We're one family, united together. We have to embrace the uniqueness of the church because that's what we are. We're unique. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says we're a peculiar people. Other versions, it says His own special people. But so many times we'll turn our back on the uniqueness of what we have. The mistake of denying the uniqueness of the church. So, the church, the family of God, cares. We care for one another. We have a caring head. Number two, God's family is unique, made of men of every nation, of different occupations. And number three, God's family is eternal. God's family is eternal. Every once in a while, my brothers and I will have conversations. We're rather concerned in the way that our country is going. And we hope it turns around. We pray for it. You know, we're pretty active and try to do whatever we can. But they get nervous and, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? We throw out all these different scenarios. But, you know, to be honest with you, it doesn't really matter. Here is what matters is that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only citizenship that matters. It doesn't matter if I'm a citizen of the United States or in some other country with a dictatorship or communism or whatever it is. It just matters if I'm in Christ Jesus, my Lord. If my citizenship is in heaven, that will roll on and on and on. Eternity is one of those hard ideas to wrap your head around. The family that never ends. The family that goes on for eternity. I think many times we take each other for granted. You know, it's like we're going on a long road trip together and we hate one another. We shouldn't hate one another. We're going on a long road trip together. We're going to heaven throughout the ages. And yet we let such petty things get us down many times. Well, they did this, they did this. Forgive one another and move on. We've got a long road together in Christ. Over the years, I've always had trouble with the word goodbye. It's one of those words that always eats at me. Oh, I don't like saying goodbye. Don't like saying goodbye to loved ones. And in fact, sometimes I'll just try to sneak out the back. I do not like saying goodbye. But the great blessing of a Christian is we don't have to say goodbye. We can say, see you later. What a great blessing that is. See you later. I don't have to say goodbye. It's not forever. I'll see you later. I might not see you in this life, but surely I'll see you in the next. That our family lasts forever. We have a prepared place, you and I. For the family of God, we have a prepared place. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In your Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare for you a place. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. See, when we are part of the family of God, we have victory over all. We have victory over all when we are the family of God. We have victory over all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, always like this statement. It says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? See, when it comes to all these things throughout life that tend to get people down, is they really can't keep a Christian down because of perspective and the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And when we look at our spiritual family, we realize we're eternal and we'll go on and on and on together. And we ask our question, what can separate the family of God? What can separate us? What can separate us in this life? Can distance separate the family of God? Can weapons separate the family of God? Can government separate the family of God? Can death separate the family of God? What can separate us? What can separate the family of God? Of course, all these things can separate us physically. Distance can separate us physically. Weapons can separate us physically. Government can separate us physically. Death can separate us physically. But what can separate us spiritually from one another? The answer is nothing. The family of God is eternal. and will go on and on through the ages. What can separate us, brothers and sisters in Christ? What separates us is when we separate from one another and we make that choice of our own. We have a great blessing of consistency. And it's one of the greatest blessings, I think, in life. Consistency. We have a God who loves us, who cannot lie, so on and so forth. We have a family and we have a home. But it's not here. It's not here. It's in heaven. When we talk about the family of God, God's family cares. It has a head that cares, and we as members of the body should also care. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another because that's the glue that keeps us together. Number two, God's family is unique and we need to embrace it. Because when we embrace it, the world will notice and say, something special going on here. Something special is going on here. The uniqueness of the family of God, of every nation, of different occupations and different groups that the world would try to split and divide. But we are united and our family is eternal. And we'll go on and on and on. We've got a long ride together. And we need to be the family of God that God wants us to be. Loving and caring. Embracing one another in unity. Based on the doctrine of Christ. And then we can go home to be with them in heaven one day. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, we ask you please come as we stand and sing.